Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Possibly we all have known people who seem to be people of great promise and great potential to the Church of the Lord, but who later quit the church altogether. I can think of several. They are people with many good qualities. Some have even been teachers of Bible classes, but they became involved in other matters, maybe seeking an education, having social goals, business interests, and so forth. It would be interesting and possibly depressing to know how many people have been baptized into Christ who are now going about their lives without any real concern for the soul whatsoever. What has become of those people? How many remain faithful to God? What is the present spiritual condition of those who once began but who turned away? Surely many have fallen by the wayside, and friend, you may be even one of them. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, "For no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Having once begun and turning back, it makes one unfit before God, unacceptable as a child of God, unfit for heaven after this life. It means spiritual damnation. Now there's an ancient conspiracy of which we must be aware. It's led by the devil and his angels against all mankind. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Friend, the devil has a twofold purpose. One, he seeks to keep people from becoming Christians. And two, he seeks to cause those who have become Christians to become unfaithful and fall away. And his efforts are far too successful. His techniques are clever and they are effective. Many are persuaded never to come to Christ. They reject, they even denounce the very Christ that came to save them. And too often Satan is also victorious in misguiding the Christian and provoking him to abandon that to which he had once committed himself. Well, the end result is the same in both instances. Both shall be eternally condemned. You cannot put your hand to the plow and turn back and go to heaven. Now, this is a very real danger. It's not an imaginary thing. It is a tragedy when one can befall any child of God that is not alert. It overtakes some in their teen years, even young people who have been reared in Christian homes, who have been active in Bible classes. They can become indifferent and inactive religiously, disrespectful of the sacred truths to which they've been exposed, and they begin to drift with worldly companions, and they grow away from the faith. A number of young people in Bible classes in preschool age compared to the number of young people in the high school and college age confirms this loss. But the problem is not confined to any one age group. The devil can, and he does, snare victims of any age and of all ages of life. Now, this is not a problem that's unique to our time. In 2 Timothy 4:10, it tells us about a man named Demas. Paul wrote, "Demas forsook me, having loved this present world." When Jesus dictated to John the writings of Revelation and the letters to the churches of Asia, he said, "But this I have against thee, that thou didst leave thy first love. Remember therefore whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I come to thee, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." Revelation 2:4-5. That once great and strong church in Ephesus had drifted to the point of being disowned. This is ancient evidence of the success of Satan. Now, we have many warnings from the Bible regarding this danger. Even so, the great Christian, the Apostle Paul, realized this danger. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, "But I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected." And he wrote to the brethren in Philippi, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, Philippians 3 and verse 13. Well, there are many passages in the book of Hebrews that center directly on the danger of falling away, having once become Christians. The book of Hebrews was written to people who were being enticed to turn back to Judaism, to leave the Christian faith which they have adopted, which was correctly on their part. But they were being led by false teachers to go back to the ways of that which had been nailed to the cross. Well, the book of Hebrews tells us about those who had and could fall away. Now, these passages were written about those who once were close to the Lord, but they left the Lord. And there's no passage more strongly emphasizes the danger of falling away than that which was written by the inspired Apostle Peter, recorded for us in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 20. Peter wrote, For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than, after have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now that's the way the Lord describes those who once became Christians and turned away, who put their hand to the plow and looked back. There's not the slightest chance that these inspired writers ever believed or that they ever taught the false doctrine of the impossibility of apostasy. They did not teach and did not know the doctrine of once saved, always saved, or the doctrine called the doctrine of eternal security. That has come from the minds of men. Oh, I know it's taught by some of the prominent denominations, but it is false as a $3 bill. It's not a thing about the truth. The apostles, the inspired writers, they were warning of the very thing that some today among us would say it can't happen anyway. That once you come to Christ, you're going to be saved, regardless of what you say, do, or think thereafter. Once saved, always saved, they say. Friend, if you are deceived by that false doctrine, I would plead with you to get your heart and your mind open to the truth. That's a false doctrine. That's not the truth. People ought not believe it. They ought not teach it to begin with. There are just too many instances recorded for us in the Bible of people who have done that very thing. Now we're wondering, having once come to Christ, why would one turn away? What are the causes for people turning back into the ways of the world and the ways of sin that they once recognized was not the way to go? Why do people reject the church of the Lord, having once come to it? Well, we learn from Scripture that Satan's opportunities to ensnare us are enlarged when we are distracted. Complacency and self-satisfaction opens the door for our digression. It seems as if those who were once made aware of their sins and aware of their lost condition would never ever become indifferent regarding it. But it is sometimes difficult, isn't it, to keep things vigorous and to keep them alive, fresh and active for an extended time. We might be like clocks. We sometimes need winding up. There is a need for revival lest we drift. Have you ever wondered what happened to those tremendous churches in Jerusalem and in Rome and in Philippi? Friends, somewhere down the line, they faded out. They were once great powers for the cause of Christ, but they must have become complacent. They must have become indifferent. They must have become cold and stale and inattentive and not alert to their duty, because the churches do not exist in those cities today. Could that happen to the church where you go? Could that happen to the congregation to which you belong? It's happened to some. And what is true of the congregations can certainly be true of an individual. Too many have their names on a church roll, but they're not really impressed. They do not display much care for the concern of the church or for their soul. They're not even concerned for regularity and faithfulness in worship. Now, every congregation has those who are sluggish and haphazard to duty. You just wonder sometimes, why must people in the church constantly have to be prodded to serve God? Rather, they should be urging others to come to the Savior. They ought not have to be coddled and pushed along with other people. Complacency is one of the reasons that sometimes people leave the church. Paul encouraged brethren, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Well, when he says, if we faint not, that certainly showed it is possible that we can faint, and if we do grow faint, why, we certainly will not be, well-doing will not be our lot. He wrote again in 1 Corinthians 15, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What's he pleading for here? Faithfulness, not turning back. You put your hand to the plow, stay with it. And there's another cause of apostasy, and that's the lack of alertness during important changes that come in our lives. You know, our environment plays a great role in influencing us. The change of job sometimes places us in circumstances that might be incompatible with a Christian life. And to keep the job, one might gradually lose his interest and concern for the church. Even the hours that we work can become an infringement upon the Christian duty of worship. The change of residence also is opportunity for the devil to inject some discordant influence into our life. Marriage is one of the more profound and far-reaching influences upon a person. Marrying one with whom you do not share a common faith in Christ can be devastating to one's faith. Every Christian should seek his or her companion from among God's people. We should teach our young to marry in the Lord. And even when babies are born into the home, there's increased responsibilities, extra time, extra work that's required, but that can be allowed to grow to be a hindrance in serving God. We must realize that properly guiding our children, keeping the home, teaching to such sacred duty of being a part as a Christian, but too often we can allow this become such a problem to us, we become so busy about it, that we begin to neglect the things of the Lord. And the rightful place where the Lord is first is pushed aside for things that are of a secondary nature. Yes, the changes that come in life can be a threat to our faithfulness. With many, it's like the little boy who was moving from one town to another, and upon leaving his former home, he said, goodbye, God, we're moving. Well, this becomes very true in the lives of too many people. There are those things that will cause us and provoke us, having put our hand to the plow and looking back. But what does Jesus say about those who do? You're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. In our next lesson, we're going to look at some other influences that come that might cause people to turn back, to become unfaithful, and to lose the great precious promises that they once had in Christ. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.